we had, you know, a situation where not only did they prove this one piece, but they also proved that the aliens were real. What would happen to organized religion? And he was just like, my man was like, no big deal.
Huh. So it doesn't sound like his questions were so outlandish as much as just his answers were.
There we go.
Like he was, it was very nonchalant, which is fine. I mean, I guess, but it's, yeah, this is, it's kind of, it gives you an uneasy feeling in some ways and then it's kind of exciting in other ways. It's weird combination. Yeah.
The visual of him, Dave. Are you on Facebook, Dave? Dave, are you on Facebook? Maverick.
This is Maverick.
Yeah.
Oh,
are you on Facebook?
I thought you were talking to someone that's there with you because I hear somebody.
I thought that was your first name, Maverick.
No.
Dave, you know, is another thing with Dave. That's who we were talking about.
Dave's probably Keith knows that probably all. Keith was telling me about someone else that was doing astral travel, talking about it or something.
Yeah.
Wait a second. We got the Goat of Fear. Welcome, Goat of Fear, to the Above the Bar podcast after show. But I just love the fact that their name is the Goat of Fear. That's such a great name.
That's what I called my ex girlfriend. You could hear her walking. You could hear her coming because it was her cloven hooves that gave her away.
Oh, completely sidebar, hard left turn here. Was watching.
I'm always. My wife refers to me as the escape goat of fear.
Hard left turn here. Was watching a YouTube video or a TikTok video where somebody's neighbor knocked on their door and was like, "Hey, you know, I'm not trying to be a dick neighbor, but can you not be singing at 1 o'clock in the morning?" And the woman's like. Sure, I'm really sorry about that. And then she turns to the camera and she's like, that wasn't singing.
It was rapping. They were hip-hopping, rapping. That's what it
was. No, she was getting wrecked by somebody. Somebody was trying to wreck her.
I know.
She's getting her belly button tickled from the inside.
Right, you know, a womb stretching, an ovary punch, whatever you want to call it.
Oh, God. You know,
so, Keith, I wanted to tell you really quick, whenever you were pinging the other day about, like, why was I responding the way I was? I was just responding to one of your earlier responses where you were saying we were having fun in that room, and I was just responding that, yes, I thought we'd figured out the formula. So I don't know if you caught on how we figured it out, but what worked? Did you notice it? What worked?
Yeah, I think so. I have so many damn conversations.
Because I know, right, but I know that you and I were trying to figure it out like a couple times before, and I think we finally figured out when we had that Gosh guy, Gosh, whatever
Gosh. His name is.
Like,
yeah, Nia Gosh.
Gosh, yeah, the in Serbian or whatever.
Oh, that's your buddy.
So Keith, this is what we did. So this is what actually I figured out would work, and I didn't know if you were catching on, but when they would tell us their dream, I would interpret, and then I would say, Keith, why don't you explain how that is? And then I would always hand it over to you to piece it together, and then you would improvise that whole thing, and that's what was so funny, was that I was just throwing it in your lap, some crazy interpretation, and then you would take it and piece it together with your ad lib, you know, improv style, which that's hilarious. So I think that's how we should do it from now on, that way.
Yeah, I liked it. I mean, I was having fun in that one. That was, it felt good. It was natural. Like,
I had to give you something to work with. I think that's what it was. Like, I'd started out and say, here's the thing, and then you tell us why that is. Like, here's the meaning. You tell us why it means, like, the reason. And then you would rabble into the reason, and it was always freaking hilarious. I mean, it was off the wall just with your nonchalant humor. You know, like, you're just like, yeah, whatever. You got a turtle. Remember the one with the turtle? Turtle. And it's like.
Yeah. I mean, and it's the delivery is like, confident stupidity, like, or right. It said confident, but it was just I had no idea the next word that was going to be coming out of my mouth.
Yeah, but it sounded like you knew exactly what you're talking about. That was so funny. That was so, that we need to, when we do it again like that, that's the formula. Okay, I'm just telling you right now.
Dude, that was, yeah, I agree. I mean, I think that was fun. I mean, we maintained and retained listeners pretty, really well in that one, too.
Yeah, we even had a troll.
What?
Yeah, we had a troll. We had a couple of them.
You just lost Bridget. Bridget was on a show the other day when we were all talking. She was here for a moment. She just disappeared on us.
Like Bridget Jones' Diary. Oh, my friend Cammy is in here.
Oh, she's back. Hi, Bridget.
Oh, you can see her middle name?
No, I can't see her middle name. It just says Bridget.
Oh, I don't see that.
And I got to tell you there, Matt, I love the new emoji or whatever the hell they're called with the suit and not the purple hair and everything. You look like a college professor.
Yeah, I decided to change it up. It makes me more regal or something. I don't know.
More studious.
Mine looks like I sell cocaine.
Yeah, because if we're gonna do it like you, Sean, is like the podcaster. You need to be like the laid back but inquisitive one, and Keith is like the one doesn't know where he's at half the time, and then I'm the one kind of like going, you know, bringing some like reason and like, you know, logic to the framework of all things.
You're the voice of reason in an otherwise just insane room, like especially with Niegos.
So I gotta hold on, Keith. I was thinking about this the other day. So you did the video with the big Mongo guy who does the if you saw me getting jumped by three dudes, what would you do?
Oh yeah. Like, that was funny.
So I saw that video. Is that really your body hair?
Oh yeah, I'm insulated, bro.
Like it was so odd. I was mesmerized.
You know, I get that a lot. I mean, I even get it with myself sometimes. I just find myself stroking my chest in the mirror for hours on end.
Like, you naturally grow it like that. Like, not an aesthetician, like, quaffed it that way or something.
Yeah, no, that's all natural, buddy. I mean,
He twirls it like a girl twirls her hair, like her bangs or something. He twirls his chest.
Mad.
It's like, I like to have girls do that for me. It really takes the leg work out of it for me.
I'm like, I'm looking at this going, the guy's got 12 abs. I guarantee, like, do you work out, Keith? Honest question.
Absolutely not.
So you just have
garbage.
Oh, God, I fucking hate
it. The answer is it depends on what you mean by working out. That's the question.
True. There are different kinds of cardio.
That's right.
Carbohydrates is not a cardio exercise.
What isn't?
Carbohydrate.
Oh. I thought you said something about corpus something. I was like, what?
Like, I'm sitting there looking. I'm like, I know this dude. He is not fucking going out for a run. He's not in the gym. There's no way any of this is happening.
I don't run unless I'm being chased. I don't pick stuff up that's heavy for fun, and I don't do anything I do well for free.
God. Those are
my three bugaboos.
I hate your soul for that.
I do too, man. I tell people all the time, I'm like, I don't deserve this, but by God, I'm going to use it.
If you had an adult hairline and shaved, you'd be a model.
Man, this is the nicest conversation I've been a part of in a minute. I mean, we keep talking about me.
No, we're not. Nothing is nice here, I'm saying.
Oh, no. It's crazy.
God, I think the next room we should do, we should call it the Below the Bar pre-show podcast or something. I don't know.
Keith appreciation to hour.
Matt, I gotta find you either on your email. So I love having Keith when he comes on, and he's never on time, which just makes it perfect.
Right.
But I am definitely still looking for a steady number two. So I got a good buddy. Rick is an amazing guy, smart guy. He looks like, have you watched the Karate Kid TV series?
Sure.
So you know the character Hulk?
I think so, yeah. You're talking about the new version that's on now. Yeah.
The kid with the mohawk.
Cobra Kai or whatever it is.
That's it.
Oh, so, yeah.
Rick looks like that kid with the mohawk grew up, yeah. Had a drinking habit. That and he's phenomenal when he's on. Look, we got somebody named Eavesdropper. What a perfect name for listening to us talk.
I followed him just because I like that name, you know.
I know, great. It won't let me, well, let me follow him. I don't know if I can follow him. Alright, let me follow
him. I cut myself an audio file.
So, and Rick tries to make it. He's a great dude, but I really need somebody who can be a consistent number two. Because
you mean fiber in your diet then is what it is.
I need fiber in my fucking diet. So you'll have to listen to some of the shows and see if you like it. I'm auditioning. I'm auditioning for number two.
So that's a real shitty spot.
Look, it pays exactly what you're making right now for being on this show.
Hey, I made a little bit of money since I've been on here.
Just because you're a Cheyenne fan doesn't mean you made money.
Well, true. I did pay her back.
Well, let me ask you the question. Why do you feel like you need a number two for your show? Like is it a show, or is it more of you're interviewing people, or is it more of like you want to talk about stuff?
So I interview people.
Yeah.
And the reason I always want a number two is I do 0.0 show prep. None.
Well, in situations like tonight on your show, like with dude.
Right, exactly. That's a perfect example. Because I do no show prep, I never know what's going to happen. So, I don't know if it's going to be good. I don't know if it's going to be bad. I always tell people, go back and listen to some of the episodes. We've had some really good ones. And what's funny is, ones that I love, that I really enjoyed. Like, I love talking to Vaynerchuk. That guy was amazing to me. It's nowhere near guys. But to me, it was so much fun. Tonight's episode, to me, or actually, one of the guys I talked to about a month ago, won't say his name. To me, it was so cringeworthy. I'm listening to this going, I can't get this thing done fast enough. Called the Podfather, who's a good friend of mine. He sent me a message. He was like, Murphy, that was so bad. You did so good. And I'm like, putting it done fast enough. It's actually one of my highest. So,
I won't say no, but I can't really commit to anything because I have a day job. It's not like I can do these things, you know, and I do my own podcast too, but.
Now, what's your podcast?
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
I just said the hypnotist, but.
I do hypno sales. I do hypno sales podcasts. So I teach salespeople how to use hypnosis with their customers to hypnotize them and stuff.
Now, is that similar to need satisfaction selling?
I'm sorry, what was he saying?
Need satisfaction selling.
No, it's kind of like a very specific kind of a neuro-linguistic programming kind of a language. It's hypnotic language, basically. So it's basically I take all the things that I use when I'm the language I use and all the things I've been trained to hypnotize people to help them stop smoking or stop eating too much or you know, improve their golf swing, you know, that, you know, vocational, avocational type improvement, you know, self-improvement, but doing it faster with hypnotic language and hypnosis sessions and hypnotherapy. What I do is I take that, also a lot of those things, those elements that allow that to happen, and I cross it over and say, okay, because I've been a SaaS salesman for 20 years, and I've been a hypnotist for 20 years, so I just kind of bring it over, and I go, you know, what if I apply the same language to with my customers to help them have a better experience, to help them to buy from me more often and stay with me when I move from company to company? Because a lot of salespeople move their job every, they quit their job and go to a new job every 2 years, right?
Yep.
And they want to be able to persuade some of the older customers they had, previous customers, to buy their new thing. And it may not be the right fit, or they don't know, and they don't know how to approach it. And then a lot of them get self-sabotage themselves. They won't allow themselves to make the money that they deserve, that they know they can probably do it. Like, if they, like, here's a classic problem. They'll have a commission they're used to making. Let's say they're used to making, just for the sake of argument, $1,000 a week commission, selling whatever. Suddenly they come across a deal, an opportunity to make $10,000 a week. They will sabotage themselves a lot of the time because subconsciously they don't believe, at the unconscious to themselves, they don't believe they deserve that much money because they have never made that much before. That's can on a consistent basis. So even though consciously they want it, they're like, I want to do that, they'll keep subconsciously sabotaging their efforts, and then they'll never achieve it. So I'll show them how to hypnotize themselves to, like, with their own script, so they can actually undo some of that programming to allow them subconsciously to accept the fact that they're worth $10,000 or $100,000 or $1 million a week. You know, like, they can make that kind of money, and so it changes their life. And then they go tell their other salesman friends, and then they wanted me to help them. So that's what I do. The podcast is just a way to, like, put out free content to help them just kind of learn to do it themselves. So, you know, that's what it is.
I love it. I think that's so
interesting. It's pretty much, it's like neural hacking, like habit and mind body hacking.
Yeah, kind of like that. Yeah.
Yeah, I love it. But that's why my show is more so give you an example. So
open to interpretation.
It really is. So last week was a Marine who has a Twitch account. So we talked about that. The week before that was the guy in Montana who has made independent horror movies. This week was my man with near-death experiences. The guy who was locked away for 15 years for a crime he didn't commit. And now he's a lawyer and helps other people out. My show is based on things that I find interesting. If, like, what you're talking about, I would sit down with you and have an entire conversation because I find it completely interesting. Not necessarily the sales part of it, but I do sales myself with staffing, but portion of it that deals with the human ability to be influenced in mental state that is higher than regular consciousness. That's amazing.
Is that like a flow state?
What is a flow state? I don't even know what that means.
It's where you kind of, well, I don't know if that's the correct terminology for it, but it's where you are like a lot more open to suggestion and new learned behaviors, or not learned, but new behaviors to reinforce like what they've, like what Matt's trying to do.
It's a hyper. It's a state of, yeah, it's a state of hyper suggestibility is what they call it.
Okay.
Yeah.
And I find it fascinating.
And I don't know if I talked about it last time, but it's just basically, you know, we're all like that until about age 8 or 9 years old. We're like that continually. Like, we're suggestible to everything we hear. We're suggestible. We do not have a mind, we can't decide on things. We can't think about things and analyze things until we're about 9 years old. Like, our brains aren't ready and our mind isn't ready until then. So we're hyper suggestible until then. And then at age 9, we learn to deduce and deduct and reason and create, you know, we understand logic. And then we realize, oh, I can have a thought about something. I can influence something. I can maybe have willpower. I can will myself. You know, like, we start to believe that.
Individual. Yeah. The individualization.
And then flow state would be like Keith plays guitar, right? So Keith picks up his guitar and just gets all into his guitar and he starts playing the guitar and then he's closing his eyes and he's like, you know, just jamming away. He's in a flow state because he lets his subconscious take over and he probably won't even remember the experience later, like playing, but in the moment he's hyper suggestible just to the notes and to the music. It's like it's almost like a religious experience.
Yeah. Oh man. By the way, Sean Mav is a ridiculously like good guitar player.
You've mentioned that to me, how good he is playing a guitar. And it's the same conversation where I mentioned how good I am at playing the radio.
That's right. I think I'm a better drummer though than I am a guitarist, believe it or not.
Oh, yeah. I'm a better heart surgeon than I am conversation.
I bet you are. I'm just saying I played drums longer and I enjoy drums more, but guitar is very spiritual and
that's how you get a You know, hey, Mav, you know what they call the guy that hangs out with the band, right?
The drummer.
Exactly.
I thought it was the bass player.
No, but it could be either one. But it's like the one, you know, the one that hangs on the band after the show. That's what they.
Oh.
You're thinking it's a groupie or something.
I don't abide male groupies. No, not in this house.
Yeah, no way.
But I have to like say that again because damn, dude, that surprised the hell out of me, and I'm terrible at giving compliments, so this is new territory for me.
But yeah, check out a couple episodes there, Mav. If you like it, I'd love to have you on just to talk about what you do with the hypnotism. I think that's amazing because it's one of those things that I would love to go somewhere. Because I like, how do you know if you're suggestive? Or
I'm sorry, there was a little feedback. Say that last part. How do you what?
How do you know if you're suggestive to being hypnotized or not?
Well, I mean, that's a good question. Let me ask you, what's your gut instinct tell you the answer to that? What do you think the answer is?
I don't know.
You don't have any idea. Okay.
No, clueless.
Okay. So the reason I'm asking you is because sometimes your gut feel, some people will have a gut feel and typically they'll be correct if they have a guess. So that's why I always ask that. But we're all suggestible and we're all hypnotized all day long. We go from trance to trance to trance. Anytime you're concentrating really hard on anything, like putting your full attention on something to the point that you don't really notice other things, and you're so focused, that's sort of a form of hypnosis, a naturally what to call the environmentally induced hypnotic trance. If you also have ever worried about something and what if this happened, you ever do that before?
Oh yeah,
yeah. That's like kind of like on the verge of anxiety, right? Like, oh my gosh, what if this? Oh my god, like something happens and you realize the implications of something, and then your mind keeps going back over it over and over, and you iterate, and you're thinking, oh man, and you go over it. That's a naturally environmentally induced, actually a self-induced hypnotic trance. You're putting yourself in a hypnotic trance when you're, the more and more you think about it. The only difference is that hypnotic trance is not good for you. It causes stress versus a heterogeneously induced trance, meaning someone does it for you. You're relaxing them, you know. Go ahead.
Heterogeneous.
Oh, I was saying what you're talking about is just like what people call turn them molehill to a mountain, or mountain to molehill.
No, but that term, heterogeneous. Am I saying it right, Matt?
No, heterally induced. Meaning someone else. Someone else is inducing it for you versus you and self-induced. Self-induced, you induce it yourself. That's self-hypnosis. Meaning that you're relaxing yourself. It's the opposite of anxiety-induced, like, you know, worry talk or whatever. You're relaxing yourself instead, but you're putting yourself in the exact same state. They're both hypnotic states. It's just one is anxiety induced, like that you just, because you're just worrying about it and iterating, you can't stop thinking about it. You get a loop in your brain where you keep thinking about that over and over and over again. It keeps occupying every moment of your attention. because you're so worried about it, that causes stress and sometimes can lead to depression. You can be so stressed that you'll go into a depression. And then when you come out of the depression, you'll go back into the anxiety state and you'll toggle back and forth. That's a naturally induced, self-induced, anxiety-induced kind of trance that that if someone, if I spotted it in you, I could, if I wanted unethically, I could take advantage of that because you're already in a hypnotic state. So I could take advantage of it. And some people that are like criminals and stuff, you know, learn about how they can spot people that are like that. And then they can like unethically take advantage of them. Like con artists do. They know about that.
Yeah. Even as like doing what I do, like conversation wise and things like that, I can pick up on people's cues really well and like read rooms and things like that. And like I could use it for a lot of other bad, like for, you know, not good purposes, basically, if I wanted to.
Yeah, you can take advantage of people against their, I mean, they're willing, but there's just they it's hard for them to defend against it if they're so deep into it. I even had a client the other day, a good friend of mine, actually, he's been a client, but he's also been a good friend, was really going through a bad spot a couple weeks ago. And for example, right. And he was talking to me, and as he was talking to me, I could pick up on it and tell that he was hypnotized and couldn't get out of it because he had brought it on himself through all the worry talk. And it was a kind of a silly situation that he just kind of didn't think was going to happen, and it started to happen, and then it was like, oh man, that's like the last thing I wanted to happen. And then he got knee deep into his mind and couldn't get back out. And then he reached out to me because he tried everything else, and he says, I knew you could help me because I knew it. I think it's subconscious driven. I'm doing it and I don't know why, blah blah blah. And I said, dude, I'm looking at you and I can tell we're on a Zoom, right? I'm like, I can see that you're hypnotized. So the first thing I told him, I said, the first thing I need to do is count you out of it, because that's when you're in a hypnotic state and you can't get out of it. You will go either to a deep depression or you'll come back out and you'll toggle back and forth. And then you'll eat sweets, you'll eat sugar. Typically you'll crave sugar, and the sugar will just make it worse. And you'll go to sleep with eating sugar late at night, and then you'll have nightmares and all kinds of, and you'll cause, you won't get any sleep. And then it just gets, it's just caved in on itself, compounds. It's really bad.
So we got a question here, which is not surprising because this is actually a really good conversation. I'm loving it.
Okay.
Hey guys, good evening. How's it going? Dusty here. I was just wondering, Keith, are you related to Bill Burr by any chance? Dusty Bucks.
Yes, he is.
Related to Beetlejuice by any chance?
Oh, hold on. What is that? We had enough. Where'd you go? I just saw Mr. Murphy. I was loving it.
No, but no, I'm not related to Bill Burr.
That's funny.
Beetlejuice. You can see if we can get him to come back.
Oh, he's back. Look at that. You said it. Dusty Box is back.
See, I willed it into existence. Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow.
But not to like get you guys off track. I was liking the course of that. I was learning. I don't learn very often.
Of course you do. You learn all the time.
When I'm talking to you, or when I'm talking to Sean.
I think we're always learning. That's a fact.
I think that's what our purpose is, yeah.
Yeah. You know, but what was that thing you said the other day when we were talking to Andrew there, Keith? The terminology where basically we remember things even though we don't realize we do it.
Something neuro, fuck, I can't think of it.
Marijuana, what was it?
High on marijuana? No, it's like whenever you hear something in passing and you don't ever like consider it to be anything significant, and you bring it back.
Chronological something.
It's crypto something.
Crypto like that.
Something like that. I'll think of it in a second and yell it out in the middle of like an otherwise inappropriate part of your conversation, because that's how my mind works. But,
feverish nightmare. Yeah.
I'm walking.
That's another thing. Why does everyone call everything a fever dream?
I think that I haven't really heard many people refer to it. I haven't heard many people use that. So it's one of them that I go to a lot. So I kind of lean on it.
My 17-year-old's like, well, that's like a fever dream, Dad. I'm like, what the fuck you have a fever dream, kid?
Yeah, ask them to describe what a fever dream is.
Right. Like, the most exciting thing in your life is you have a friggin' whatever that, you know, VR headset is. That's as close as you get. Fucking get over it, kid.
Those things are amazing. Have you ever get the chance to watch a film of the pornographic nature on one of those babies? My gosh. I am telling you. Like, I recorded my first, like, time, like, watching, like, porn through one of those, and it does not disappoint. It's hilarious. Like, I'm like, oh my God, what is this? It's like, this is amazing. Like, it's gonna ruin people's lives. It's so good.
So I don't know if you guys are old enough, but have you ever heard of a movie or seen a movie called Brainstorm?
Absolutely.
That movie with Christopher Walken.
I would like
Lawnmower.
Christopher Walken's sentences for him.
Listen here, guys. We're going to get more cowbell.
We're gonna get more cowbell. We're gonna get more cowbell.
Talk about a tagline.
Gotta have more cowbell.
Listen, I wake up and I put my pants on, you know, just like you. But I make gold records when I do it.
I make gold records. Yeah.
Oh, it's awesome. I have the same sense of humor as two older men.
What? What did you just say? What the fuck did you say? No, I heard what the fuck you say, but what did you just say?
Said, isn't it amazing?
No, I fucking heard you.
What did you say?
You don't need to repeat it.
I like that. That's exercise and redundancy. Fun stuff.
I heard you. You just don't need to repeat it.
Never will again. We're in a safe space here.
After listening to this entire thing, Bridget, you might be going for sainthood. You're the only person listening to all of us, and I know you've listened to us a couple times, and I appreciate you.
I appreciate you too.
But yeah, so it was a good show tonight, Dave. Or Dave, God. Mav, I keep wanting to call you Dave for whatever the godforsaken reason.
You can call me Dave. I just didn't know that. I thought you were talking to someone here. But if you want to refer to me as Dave, that's totally fine.
I don't know why that.
Mave.
I don't know. I swear to you, I think Keith called you Dave, and it stuck in my head.
That's very possible.
That
I think that sometimes on purpose.
That might be your first name.
He was having a fever dream, and he was like,
fever dream? Fucking God.
No, that was just a meth-induced psychosis. That's just a Tuesday.
You know, what's funny is the fact that I knew what none of these apps were like. Stereo, or what's the other one?
Clubhouse.
I knew what none of these things were until Keith. So Keith's semi-celebrity as being a micro influencer that he is,
super micro,
has allowed me access to these parts of the world. So I got to say thank you, Keith.
Keith, I have an idea for you. You need to make a couple videos, longer videos, like 10-minute videos.
Oh God!
For a YouTube channel, if you have a YouTube, you need to start one, and you need to tell people about Stereo and Clubhouse. Like, make them and teach them. And each episode is you're teaching them something new about Stereo, how it works, a feature,
some different aspect,
and showing them the ropes, right? And then you will get people that will be like new to everything, and they'll be finding your video and your comedy, like, and then, you know, this is how you get on stereo, but be like, really teach them, but like, be funny about it. And I bet you would get all kind of people following you just because, you know, you're teaching them a new thing, just like Sean's talking about here. And you taught me too. I mean,
dude, I did that today for somebody actually.
Record yourself doing it, but like, record the screen and go, or whatever, like, record you on your phone, say, and then you just click right here, whatever, and enjoy next time, and I'll show you how to do another thing on stereo, you know, or whatever, right?
Yeah, I could go through the actions and everything, and then even if I need to, I could just go over and just record voice over instead of, like, I would like to have the conversation with the person on there as well.
Like a tutorial. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, that's true.
I'm wondering, we just got another listener named Davinio. I used to work with a Davinio. I wonder if this is my same Davinio.
Oh, no, this is not.
If this is my Davinio, she is like...
No, this is Mother F in America, our favorite.
What? F in America? Oh,
Mother F in America.
That is.
Favorite fan. With,
what?
She's Joey Diaz's mother.
She's hilarious.
All right. Does she need to come on? Like, I don't know.
Sure. If she wants.
All right. So I don't even. How do we do that?
Let me see. I can.
You do it, kid.
Yeah.
Batter.
One second.
I remember. You need to have her on your show. I'm telling you, you need to have her on your podcast.
You think so?
Her from the other day. Now that you say it, I don't know her off camera.
But how do you think I should go about doing that? Like what would you suggest? Like the first episode be just like straight up introduction.
Talk about stereo. Talk about, like, list out the benefits. What's the benefits? What do you get out of it? How does it work? Just high level, like just describing it, just to get so you make people aware. Like, it's called an awareness video. Make people aware about it. Don't go into detail and then say. And then join me next time, and I'll show you how you can actually, you know, get your profile set up. And then the next one is just how you, all the things you need to get verified or whatever. And then the next one, you join me next time, and I'll show you how to actually start a show live with three people. And then, you know, like that.
Yeah. I've got, like, videos in the vault, like, of how to, like, get, you know, 0 to 1,000 views on Reels and, like, or 0 to 5,000 views on Reels, Instagram, like, in 5 minutes. And I've got, like, hashtag tutorials and stuff.
Do you put those out?
No, I haven't yet. But
oh, okay. You need to put those kind of things out. But I'm just saying stereo is such a new thing, and I think that, if you catch it early, you might be able to ride the wave. Just like Clubhouse. We're kind of riding the Clubhouse wave. That's why I want to keep doing things there, because it's about to blow open.
Well, you say that, Matt, but you realize Clubhouse went from, in 30 days... It went from nothing to sold for a value of $2 billion.
Yeah, because I was on with the co-founders the other day. They were doing Sunday morning. They do their show. They do their updates for the week, and they were on there talking about all that stuff and how they haven't begun to scratch it. It'd probably be bigger than TikTok. I mean, it's just,
yeah, dude, that's how I met Matt. Like, I think it was when we had Bill Burr in there, and we were talking to him, and that was insane. That was like, I've had it since December, and
man, this first mentioned to me.
Yeah, this is. I mean, it's the first time I started utilizing.
You didn't mention it to me.
I didn't even know. I thought it was a place for like egotistical people to just get on and
ego. Yeah, I mean, so tell me more about it.
Should be perfectly in line with your brand, you know.
Yeah, come on. You tell me more about it. Uh-huh. Took fucking 10 months.
I'm a great friend, guys. Come on.
I mean, tell me more about it.
Who
was the first person that reached out to you and said, hey, man, I need you on my podcast?
The first person for me?
Just shut the fuck up.
Nobody. I asked if I could be on one.
No, but I reached out to you.
Oh,
do you remember that?
I'm sorry. I'm smoking wax right now, bro.
I believe it.
Let me tell you that story, Mav. So I reach out to Keith and I'm like, hey, man, you're really funny. I'd love to have you on my show. Hey, man, I'm going to Florida right now in the middle of a pandemic to do a live stand-up. I'll get back with you. All right, cool. And I'm thinking to myself, like, this is a cool motherfucker right here. You know, maybe he'll, I don't know if he's blowing me off or not. Next thing I know, I'm like, hey, just want to kind of throw this out there to you, man. Are you still interested? Oh, man, I've been so busy. I really haven't got to it. I'm thinking to myself, now I've got a lot of years of staffing under my belt, and I'm thinking to myself, all right, I'm getting the fucking blow off right now.
Right.
And I'm thinking, like, all right, I've done sales. I've done staffing. I'm right. getting the blow off. Next thing I know, I probably talk to Keith fucking daily.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think we talk daily. The only other person I talk to as much as I do Keith, besides my wife, is my best friend, Ken.
I mean, he didn't say it was willingly. I mean, I kind of forced the conversation.
No, I forced the original conversation. He was like, hey, man, this guy actually likes me. Well, fuck, I guess we might as well talk.
Yeah, that's exactly right. That's Keith, man.
Yeah, I beat him into submission.
Yeah, what you did it with just, you know, acceptance and kind words and flattery, because it will get you places.
Well, the cool thing about Keith is that
voicemail.
I'm sorry? Well,
I said we have a voicemail. Who's going to play that?
Oh, I want to hear what Mav said first.
Oh, good enough.
What was I going to say?
Yeah.
That's the thing that I was telling Keith, is that the appeal that I think Keith has is that he's charming. He's charming in his accent and the way, or just his demeanor gives off the impression that he's kind of like a first impression of like a slow country bumpkin kind of. You know, yes, not all with it. And then when he talks, it's like he's fucking more intelligent than everybody in the room. So it's like, you know, it's a dichotomy that's just very appealing. At least it is to me. And I think a lot of people find it appealing. And I tell him I want to get him famous. I want people to just know about him. I think he's cool. But just because of
it. It's funny you said that, Matt. We just had this conversation. Best friend mentioned something like, man, he's got that, you know, very Southern accent. I said, just so you know, he has a bachelor's degree in clinical psychology.
Right, right.
They were like, what? I'm like, holy shit. Like, don't get it twisted. He might sound like he's touched a cousin before, but he's actually got a degree in all.
Yeah, I'm a thoroughbred. He's certified to touch him, you know. It's like,
yeah.
Thoroughbred inbred, you know.
Thoroughbred inbred.
But I would definitely not tell people that. I would keep that to yourself and just let it be, like, you just say stuff that's intelligent. And then people later go, wow, that was so deep, you know, like they just don't realize it until later. And I think that's good comedy. Always has got a deep psychological angle, philosophical angle to it, you know.
Well, you know, that's the way that I approach it. And I don't ever want to be that person that comes into a room and spouts out their, like, IQ, because I think that's just, you know.
Yeah,
both gross and most of the time also dishonest.
Look at the size of my dick.
Yeah, exactly. Look at the size of my brain. You know, like, people just have always irked me.
Well, but yeah, but the most, I'll tell you, the people that have what it takes, they never have to tell anybody. If they're leaders, don't ever have to tell anyone that they're a leader, right. Ever. People that have a big dick would never have to tell anybody that their dick is big, ever.
Michael Jordan wouldn't have to tell anybody that he's good at basketball.
Yeah, right. they just see it. They just know it. They know that you know it, so they don't have to say anything. And it's that confidence. It's the ones that anytime anybody tells me something about themselves that, like, whatever, I'm immediately suspicious. And I think that's just natural. That's just, we pick up on that subconsciously.
I would agree with that.
I'm
going to play this thing.
Oh, yeah. Sorry.
All right.
I'm good, y'all. Hi, MFA here. I'm dog sitting my nephew, Doug, and I'm trying to get him settled and I'm listening. Thanks for the invite, though.
What the fuck was that?
See how nice she is? She's like, I think she's always like high, a little bit high, and a little bit Puerto Rican.
Yeah, sounds like Joey Diaz's mother. I can't unhear that. But she's always nice. I'm waiting for her to say cocksucker, though.
You fucking cocksucker. I'll fucking stab you in your face. You fucking cocksucker.
You know what? I got to tell you, Keith. I was on here the other night and I saw two other talk show. What are we when we're on here? Talk show hosts? What are we? Stereo hosts? What the fuck
are we? Yeah, we're just a band of misfits.
Fucking misfits. Okay, so there's a band of misfits and it was like, I think it was like five people. And it was like two or three African American ones with crowns, you know, and they were really funny.
That was
and then one called Mountain Mama and one called Freaky Deaky, and both of them were more southern than you, Keith. More southern than you,
like
funny as hell. Or... And I was thinking, man, we need to get like the two of them and you, like three southern comics, just like. Just with all the accents. I mean, their accents were a little bit different than yours. Like, it sounded more Georgia. Like Atlanta or Georgia. Like,
oh, I miss Atlanta so bad.
You know what I mean? Like that. Yeah. Versus, you're Kentucky, right? They were like Atlanta. I was like, man. And then I think the other one was Texan. So I was like, man, just have a Southern podcast show. You know, God, it would be funny.
I'm going to throw this out right now. I've eaten pizza in Naples, Italy. I've eaten pizza in New York City, Baltimore, Philly, Los Angeles, and all parts in between. The greatest slice of pizza I've ever had is in Atlanta, Georgia, at a place called Antico Pizza.
Little hole in the wall place.
Brother, it's actually, if you look it up, one of the, I don't know if it's USA Today or Travelocity or one of those, ranks it is the number 10 pizza place in the entire United States.
Wow.
And you go into this place, and when you walk in the door, to your right will be like this single big giant table inside of a glass room. The counter's there. The girls that work the table there or the counter are all God, what's the place where when we were kids they always asked for money? Ethiopian.
Oh, yeah.
They're beautiful, beautiful women. And
And they're super nice too. I mean,
well, I'm gonna tell you right now, there ain't much prettier women on this planet than Ethiopian. You walk through the door and you walk into this room, and it's a big open room full of tables. It's family style eating, and all the way around the room is brick ovens.
Oh, the smell in there. I can smell it.
Oh, it's amazing. And they give you a number, and when you walk in, you just wait a moment. And I bet you within 5 to 7 minutes, somebody's screaming your number out with your pizza. And I promise you, it is the best pizza. And every pizza is like a personal pizza. You know, they're not much bigger than 8 to 10 inches. Just
same here.
As soon as you said Atlanta, like I've been to a lot of places to eat, and that's always my thing when I travel, is what is there to eat. 12 years in the Marine Corps recruiting, another several years staffing. I always tell people, if you want to know what a community is doing, go see where they eat at. And based on where they eat at is who they are. And people in Atlanta eat well. I've been to Gladys Knight's restaurant. The best chicken and waffles. Atlanta, everything about Atlanta. Varsity in Atlanta. They're peach pies, which are like the McDonald's pies, but they're peach. And they're everything in there. It's just amazing. Atlanta is probably the most underrated food city in the country.
Well, I imagine, if they would have to, like, any restaurant that would have any, like, traction or any, like, kind of longevity business-wise there would have to be fucking fantastic. I mean, because of the competition around them. So, I mean, but you know what I mean? Like, if we had 10 McDonald's here, which we do, the one, but and that was all that we had, one of the McDonald's would be amazing. And then all the way down to people's least favorite, we could rank the McDonald's. And that's like weird, but I like steakhouses.
Best steakhouse I've ever been to is there's one here in Albany called Joe's Oyster or Jack's Oyster House. Amazing steak. That and Ruth Chris. Ruth Chris is amazing.
See what motherfucking America says about steak if she got one real quick.
Hey, just some advice. Careful where you step, fellas. That Mountain Mama ain't no joke. You get wrapped around that little web of deceivery, and I'm just saying, I just cleared out my troll closet. Half of them are hers, you know what I'm saying? Keith, bless you, you're a sweetheart. I could be real sweet if you want me to. But anyone steps to me with disrespect, I'll show you. I sound exactly like Joey Diaz, mother. I knocked the fuck out of you with a fucking El Dente Fettuccine, you know, you hear me? Come here, let me slap you with some linguine.
I got the weirdest note on that I've ever had in my life right now.
I don't know what that was.
That was a human interjection. And I love her.
Oh, God.
With an Al Dente.
Jersey.
That was a stream. That was one linear thought. Let's think about this.
Oh, that's so great. But yeah.
That sounds like me going on a rant.
Oh. So as you can tell, my rants are mostly food related.
I love food. I wish I don't eat it very often.
Here's one for you. Now, Mav, what state are you in?
I'm in Texas.
So my best Texas experience is San Antonio. I love San Antonio.
That's where my parents and grandparents are from there, yeah.
That's probably why
that had to do with a strip club. and my best Kentucky experience is I tell people where am I supposed to go? And where should I go? Where should I do? Where should I visit? I tell them all Mammoth Cave.
Oh, right. Yeah. Yeah, it's absolutely incredible.
Mammoth Cave will like make you understand how insignificant planetarily you are.
It's like the terror equivalent of looking at the ocean. Like, it's, have you been there, man?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, you did Mammoth Cave too. What'd you think of it?
It's
inspiring. Like,
yeah, I can't even put it into words. Like, you just can't believe it. Like, you hear about it and you go there and you're like, holy shit! Like, it's just amazing. And I've toured a lot of different caves, but that one is fucking.
Have you been to Carter Caves? That's the only other like large cave system that
I've been like I've been like Carlsbad and like what's the other one? Not Carter, but I don't know. Where is that one at?
In Rowland County, Kentucky.
Okay, no, I haven't been. I don't think I've been to any of them in Kentucky. There's another one. There's one up near the Appalachians, but not like in North Carolina or somewhere in there.
It's Appalachians.
Not so Appalachians, yeah.
Potato, some you know, coming from a kid that really thought that the gas station was like 30 miles down the road from my house that looked like it was built like a castle. I thought that that was Disneyland for 2 years. So, I mean, when I saw the Mammoth Cave, I lost my fucking mind.
Yeah. Yeah, you just don't you can't understand it till you get there. You can't predict it till you get there and see it. And you're just like, yeah, all inspired. Changes your perspective on everything. Kind of like the Grand Canyon, or like Grand Canyon kind of does too. That same kind of feeling.
I wasn't impressed by the Grand Canyon.
Which one? Was there name in Kansas, or were you seeing one of the wonders of the world?
Well, it seemed like now. So I've been to. I used to go to Niagara Falls all the time. I can't tell you how many times I've seen Niagara Falls. Hey, just so you know, Niagara Falls, U.S. compared to Niagara Falls, Canada. Niagara Falls, Canada is beautiful. They've done something over there. Niagara Falls, U.S. is like walking into a Detroit ghetto, and there just happens to be a water fountain there.
Well, fuck yeah, I love it.
It's so bad.
Nah, I hate that they really like.
Oh, it's nothing like when we were kids and you watched Three Stooges and you thought that it was this vacation honeymoon paradise. It's so bad. It's so horrible. It is nothing like what we were taught as kids.
Yeah, so it was a sad whoop, 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 whoop.
Like, Goat Island is great, which is like this island that's by it, but
just like George Carlin. He's got a joke about it. He's like, you know, America, have you seen it lately?
Right.
It used to be beautiful. We've turned it into a fucking shopping mall.
Right. Yeah. Like, I promise you. And I tell people all the time when, you know, sidebar to a lot of the other stuff, I'll tell you what the most beautiful state in the entire country is Utah. The Mormons have left that thing alone. They're too busy with their second and third wives, but that place is beautiful.
I mean, they're not. It's a weird, like, I don't know. I don't feel like I should trust, like, religions that my grandfather were older than. I mean, is that, like, really a thing that people don't realize? Or
have you ever looked into, like, where religions that, like, the Discovery Channel doesn't like?
Don't like any of them but Muslim history and Christianity.
Basically. So, like, Discovery Channel did, like, a whole thing on, like, John, whatever his name was, and the magic hat and the underwear.
Are you talking about John and the Amazing Technicolor Dream Thong?
Whatever his name was, the guy who came up with the Mormon religion. Like, Discovery Channel came at him.
Really? Oh, shit.
Yeah.
Joseph.
You saw it, Mav?
Yeah, I know. I've seen a lot of those ones. I'm a big History Channel fan. I like all the History Channel stuff. So I've probably seen multiple different ones they have of that on the Utah documentaries on the Utah and the Mormonism on the
Joseph Smith.
Something like it.
Well, Polyamorous. Yeah, exactly.
Well, here in New York,
I love it.
New York is their mecca.
Yeah.
I thought the Salt Lake City was.
No.
So New York is their mecca. If you ever get a chance, watch the show Big Love with Bill Paxton.
Yeah.
And,
you both will appreciate this.
Just to clarify, Keith, mecca means that's where they travel to. It doesn't necessarily mean that's where they're from.
So
I mean, it's the magnetized. I mean, it's what they're magnetized to. It's like, you know, California for actors is what I
Yeah, like. That's it.
So, do you know the actress, and I always get her name wrong, Chloe Sevigny?
Sure.
No, I don't, but
she's beautiful.
She's a beautiful woman. She did some makeup commercials. She got real famous off the movie Kid. That was like her big hit. And then she really got big. Put her up, the Brown Bunny. And she dated the director of Brown Bunny, and she took care of him one thing, and it was considered as pornography. She's in the show Big Love. She's one of the wives. But if you know who she is, Mav, you'll appreciate this. So in my prior life, I dealt with Passenger Railroad. And not saying who I worked for, I would never put up there. But in our job, we left from Hudson, New York.
Yeah.
And we had a train and it was hot, brother. I mean, we had a situation where the first car of our train, the air conditioner wasn't working on it. And I was working with this guy. Johnny is a great dude. And we're working together and it's hot. But Johnny's a talker. You know what I mean? He's like us. He's a talker. He's got something to say.
Yeah.
And we're in a scenario and I'm like, I mentioned to him, I was like, hey, a couple of weeks ago, you know that Chloe Sauvignon whatever?
Sauvignon.
Yeah, well, that's what I said to him. Chloe Sauvignon whatever. And he goes, yeah. I was like, man, she was supposed to get on my train and she's so pretty. But I can't tell you why, though, man. Like, but she's so pretty. And he looks at me and he goes, uh-huh. And I'm looking at him, I'm like, why is he, like, blowing me off? Like, this ain't like him. And because it's so hot, we have to sit in seats next to each other. We have passengers. Can't be in the first car. We get all the way to New York's Penn Station. We get off the train, and he picks up his phone, and he shows me a picture. And it's a picture of him and Chloe, and she's leaning in to give him a kiss on the cheek. I was like, what the hell is that about? He goes, you know the woman that was sitting behind you with the big sunglasses on? I was like, yeah, I saw her. He goes, yeah, that was Chloe. I was like, what? He goes,
see, that's the one part of this story that made me, that convinced me you weren't actually just being a hobo on that train.
Yep. Like,
yep. Back in the back car, hot. Nobody knows you're there.
Oh, but I've met, in that job, I've met Tyra Banks. I've met John Carroll Lynch, Karen Gillan. Met a lot of celebrities.
We met Barbara Walters whenever she took a shit on our whole town.
Well, you told me about that.
Yeah, she put on came you. Here and did a scathing fucking just a smear. I mean, it's not hard to smear this place. Do what?
There's the new guy, Nathan Freeman. I always got to say hi to everybody.
Oh. It was like, yeah, it's not really that hard to shit on this place, right? I mean, but my God, they took and got the worst examples of the worst examples. There's a man that, well, he was, I can call him a man, whatever, he was in fucking school. He might as well have been. Sean Grant, Sean Grimm, he was really fast, so people, like, you know, paid really attention to him. But I mean, it wasn't fast. He was a 5'8" white boy with that weighed like 160 pounds. Nothing. I mean, but we're in the heels, so you know, comparatively, you know, he's looking like a good athlete for like one of the little other colleges around the area. That gained a little bit of attention, and like it was a feel good story that people were trying to. Like that he went and got like coal out of the sides of mountains and shit, and that people thought it would be good TV to like listen to him talk about his parents like having to lock the pills up in the like actual like sentry safe boxes and stuff because people will break in and steal them. And they cut to a little girl and shit, and then she's like, we don't have anything but butter and mayonnaise and a refrigerator. And they talk about Mountain Dew Mouth and just punch down after punch down, man. And she just was so fucking snooty and like highbrow, like nose up in the air bullshit attitude about it. That it's just, oh, it's aggravating. Like, I mean, there's good aspects of this place too. But I mean, I don't know why I shit on it a lot. It's just the people. They suck.
It's just the people.
Basically everything.
Yeah, but... I don't get on it. It's just the people.
That's hilarious.
I mean, it's a true story. I just thought about telling it that way, but I mean, to like get to my point, like, yeah, it was really, it made us look a lot worse than we really even are. It's called Children of the Mountains, if that ain't enough for you. literally, like, Barbara Walters was just waltzing around our town in some fucking...
God. I told you to watch it when I was telling you about... What was it? The one about the Appalachian. Shit, I can't even remember what the hell it was called, Keith. I'm, got too much alcohol in me.
Oh, that's all right, buddy. We all drink. I like a little bit of that booger sugar myself.
Oh, wait a sec, Paula.
It's so true.
It's so true, but Paula said it's true.
Whatever now, it was. Whatever it was.
Is there any way that I can just save Paula's... Wait a sec. I want to save that.
It's so true.
I just want to save that and play it during my show and just hit the button and be like, it's so good.
Like a rim shot. Like a rim shot.
Yeah. Like,
because Paul's got such a great voice. It's just like, it's so true. Bang. Bite me.
She's my neighbor. We
determined what your neighbor is. She's like 6 miles away from you.
What? Hey, Sean. What? Yeah, exactly. Now your neighbor without it. She's your telescope neighbor. Hey, so what? What else do you want her to say for your show? What else could she say?
I don't. That's a good question. So we got. It's so true. I think another good one would be her just going. Say that again.
How about? Oh, better calm down with that jibber jabber.
That'd be a good one. Or where'd you get that from?
How about
you need a good hell no is what you need.
You know what? It's funny you say that. I was about to say, oh hell no.
Oh hell no.
Hell no.
And then you can just play. And then you can play that when someone talks about an alien abduction and being like astral traveling with aliens in the Bible, and you'd be like, "Hell no!" He's played that. Hell no!
Because you know, Paula, we love you. You've got such a great deadpan delivery; it's perfect.
And like knowing her personally, it's I can imagine her saying it, and it's great. Like I. Her face, no, like just her expression wouldn't change. Like, yeah, that's exactly right.
Just so deadpan.
It's like giant.
You just reminded me of a story. If you guys want to hear it, of how I got my theme song on the radio. Did I ever tell you that story yet, Keith?
No.
If I tell you, it's a long time ago. So I'm here in Dallas. You know how, like, back probably I don't know. Probably 15 years ago now, when people were still listening to the radio, like on their drive home, you know.
Now we drive spaceships someday. I mean, mass.
Yeah, exactly. We don't even. Yeah. So there was this show on TV way back when called The Love Connection. Do you ever?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
You remember the host of Love Connection? It was that guy.
Yep. He was a very far right wing conservative now.
He's gay. I think he's gay and stuff. But anyway, he when that show went canceled or when it fin- or actually when it was still on and then right towards the end when it was canceled, he was our afternoon DJ here in Dallas, Texas. Afternoon drive home show or whatever on one of the Hard Rock channel or whatever, and. He had a couple other people with him that were like his sidekicks that would make fun and they were pretty funny and they did these bits. And there was this one bit that they started doing that I thought was so clever and so funny. And it's where they would send one of their interns, they would send the intern, his name was Jim or Slim Jim or something like that. I think it was Slim Jim. They send Slim Jim out to somewhere undisclosed location, and on his phone he dials back into the show and he's like, all right, I'm out here. And then they get two contestants to come on. They pick from like the two ninth callers kind of thing, right? Or whoever calls in, they pick them and they say, okay, you introduce them, and they say, okay, now we're gonna give him a task and he's got 2 minutes to do a thing, and if you think he can do a thing, then who's gonna vote for him and who's gonna vote against him, like not being able to do the thing, the task or whatever. And then they have to hear the task, and it's like, you know, you got to go up to a stranger wherever you are. Like he's out like in the public somewhere, right? And he's like, you got to go up to a stranger and you got to convince someone that you're a Chippendales dancer. right? You got to convince them in 2 minutes that you're and get them to say, yeah, I believe you are, you know, that kind. Because he's like the skinny ass, whatever, something like that, right? And then someone says, okay, I think he can do it. I don't think he can do it. And then it's called Can Slim Jim Do It was the name of this show, right? And it was on for like a couple weeks, and I was listening, coming home, and I was like, that's so funny. And I'm like, but they need a theme song. Like, this needs a theme song. So I went home and I wrote this song just for the hell of it. I recorded the song, Can Slim Jim Do It? Hell no. Because when we were talking Hell No, I remember, like, I was like, I wanted to have like a couple versions of it where it's like, you know, absolutely, or hell no. I did two or three versions of it, like, so because I figured like he could play whichever one he wanted if I sent it to him. So I got his email, because his email is on the radio station. I sent it to him, and I said, I made this as a fan of this show. I love this show. I think this is one of the funnier bits you've done. Please consider my song, and, you know, if you like it, you can have it. I just, you know, let him have it. And the next time, he's like, this fan sent in this theme song. We've got a theme song, y'all. And for 2 years, he played that theme song, and I didn't get one damn royalty or anything because I was so stupid to go, you can have it, right?
Right.
Gave him a piece of gold, man.
Oh, my God.
You guys go, this is perfect. You can have all this.
Exactly. and then get this. So then when they announced that they were doing their last week, I was trying to get in to be a contestant all week because I could never get in on the show. But he would take my theme song, but he would never, like, you know. And I'd always listen every day or every week when he'd do it on the Wizard. I'd listen because I'd be like, that's me, my wife, and I both saying, you know, na 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 na, can Slim Jim do it? You know, like we're doing like a song, you know. And so I would just listen because I was like, that's me. I'm on the radio and nobody knows it, right? You know. And then the last show they did, I managed to get in, and I was a contestant on the very last show.
Really?
And I'm on there, and then they don't have any idea that I'm the one I'm going to do with the theme song.
Oh, please tell me you had to tell them. Didn't you?
I never told them. I didn't tell them. I just and I won the contest that day. I guessed all the right things or whatever, and won tickets to Nickelback and shit. You know, it's like,
oh, talk about a sucker punch after a win.
I know, exactly. I was like, I didn't even go. I'm like, I'm not going to that Nickelback. Are you kidding?
You know, I'm going to go ahead and say, I don't think that they're a terrible band.
They're not. I'm just not going to see them live. Even free tickets, I'm not going.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not going to go out of my way to see them, right?
Like, you have to go see Boys the Men.
For whatever. I saw, like, this is no joke. I saw a CD, I don't know, like, do you know, remember those, like, I don't know what it was called, like, Time Warner, or those things where you could check off boxes and pay 50 cents and get, like, 28 CDs or some shit like that?
Columbia.
Yeah, I remember, I used to get picked, like, CDs through that sometimes, and, like, my parents would, too, and I don't know what it, like, who ordered it, my mom or my dad, because both raised like really weird questions. Like, but I saw a CD called Blackstreet Boys. And
where's your Black?
No, it was Blackstreet Boys. I knew the Backstreet Boys.
Band called Blackstreet.
Yeah, I had no idea. I did not know that. I thought it was a joke for 10 years. Like, no, because I never heard of them again. I don't know how. But I mean, well, I imagine, you know, that's not the most talked about band in Appalachia.
Right.
I don't know why. I just always thought that was so fucked up that, like, I just thought that it couldn't be a thing, period. Like, I never even considered it. But,
well, they're definitely a band called Blackstreet, but they didn't have boys at the end.
So I was right.
Yeah, they're absolutely one of the best. You know, from the early R&B, kind of had a little bit of a hip-hop vibe.
Kind of like R. Kelly without the fucking weirdo.
Yeah, R. Kelly without the peeing.
Yeah, I want to piss on you when you sound good. I want to pee on you.
Let me do what my urine do.
I'm fighting for my fucking life.
Damn, Gail, I'm just trying to fight for my life and my urine.
Listen,
I just want to pee on little girls and film it, and also traffic other girls from other countries here as long as they have their shots, and then they can live in my house and I can yell at them. Yeah, that's R. Kelly's life.
My favorite line is my favorite line is that Macklemore when he goes, I got R. Kelly sheets, piss, and it was only 99 cents.
Jeez, I mean, it's such a great use of the word, like for the rhyme too, like because it's like almost like miming it, like but it's like just riding that.
Yeah, just long enough.
It's just perfect.
I know.
Oh man, I listen.
I've got to get ready to go to bed here. So if I keep you guys going since I started it.
No.
Oh, don't.
I'm all right with it. Like, I'm probably going to get off here and spend some time with the lady.
As well, you should.
She deserves it. She puts up with a lot, you know.
Well, we all salute Cheyenne tonight.
So in Cheyenne's name, I salute. God, I need to get some sleep too tonight. It's been a long time. It's been a long couple days. But well, man, this has been a good conversation. I appreciate you guys.
Absolutely. Yeah, Matt, absolutely. You missed this one. So whenever I do my live broadcast, I share it to every Facebook group I belong to, which I've found I belong to 96 of them.
Good Lord.
And the goal is always the same, to eventually get banned from all of them.
You're right.
And my best
one
friend.
One housewife group at the time.
Well, my best friend Ken just sent me a message. He's like, hey, you know, you posted your show on the New York City Comic Con group, and they deleted your shit off right away. I'm like, I don't care. I really don't give a shit. I like it when the ones send me messages that are like, why the fuck is this on our group? Because no one else on God's green earth is paying attention to what the fuck you've got on here, but two other people. Be happy I posted anything.
I can't stand like people. Like, it's like if I post a video on TikTok or something that somebody doesn't like and they feel the fucking inclination to tell me about it, like, all right, cool.
Thank
man.
You.
I'm just going to go on living my life just like I would have if you just hadn't said anything.
Well, what's going on there, Almighty Marv? You just caught the show as we're getting ready to end it. So as we always do on anything above the bar related, Keith, what's your final words?
I'm not honest, but I ain't no fucking liar. And don't run unless you're being chased. Don't pick up heavy things for free. And also, don't do anything you do well for free. Have fun.
Mav, what's your final words?
Final words is life is too short and tortillas are delicious. So don't forget the tortillas, especially on Taco Tuesday night.
You heard it. River. Be kind to others and don't forget the tortillas on Taco Tuesday night. It's your host, Murph, and be sure to push your stool in.
Also, one more.
Oh, what? One more what?
I've been to... never mind.
There's always some drunk at the end of the bar. Be sure to push your stool in.